Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, Living an Inspired Life. I am driving home now from downtown Atlanta. I just got done grooming a handsome, spunky little Bichon. He's so full of personality. But yeah, I did a really, you know, I guess I might be biased, but I think it was a really nice haircut. And I shared a picture on my Instagram. Several pictures, actually, of me holding him and him giving me a kiss. He's just so cute. But yeah, I just got done with my appointment, my grooming appointment, and at my client's house, and now I'm driving back up to my house in Suwanee, which is about an hour drive, about 40, 45 minutes, to let my dogs out one last time before I go drive down to Orlando, Florida. It's going to be a 7-hour trip for me from my house in Suwanee. And I let the Airbnb host know that I'm going to be getting there pretty late. And they said, that's fine, just stay safe. And the reason for the trip, the reason I'm driving down to Orlando is because back in April this year, earlier this year in April, I got an email from a really nice couple who rescued a dog, adopted her from a rescue shelter about 4 or 5 years ago. And she was already about 4 or 5 years old at the time. And she has just been through a lot. And, you know, nobody really knows exactly what happened. But she was terrified of everyone, everything, vicious to the point. She's so scared that she goes full-on attack mode. She just hits the red zone and just feels like she has to fight for her life. And they've been working with her, and they've been trying to give her, you know, at least moments of a happy, comfortable life. The problem is she gets so vicious, and you know, because she's so scared and terrified, she just get it's dangerous the way she behaves. And it hurts when she bites. She doesn't play around. I mean, she's playing for keeps when she bites. And so they asked if I could help them because they're just running out of options. And to get her sedated at the vet every time, where they sedate her with, you know, anesthesia, you know, and she's unconscious, totally unconscious, and they shave her down real quick before she wakes up. And they're saying that she is so, it's like holding a dead, limp dog in their arms. And then when she comes to, when she finally wakes back up, they're saying that for like a week or more, she's just not herself, and she seems really upset and angry. And they just don't want to put her through that anymore. Also because she is getting older, and you know, there is a chance that she might not wake up. And also the cost involved, you know, they have to pay for the groom, plus the vet costs, the vet visit, the sedation, all of that. And it's just, you know, it's just not feasible to continue doing that on a regular basis. And it's not good, it's not safe for her, you know. But there really is no other option because she's just so vicious and so just scary. She goes on full attack mode that is just, it's dangerous. It's very risky for a groomer to try to give her a decent haircut, or even just to shave off all the matted hair, you know, just to shave her down just so they can just, you know, go for a few months without worrying about it. So in July, the last weekend in July is when I had time. I drove down there, and I just didn't know if I was going to be able to do it or not. And I guess the fear of not being able to do it, or possibly injuring the dog, or possibly getting hurt myself and having to call off the groom, the fear of failure and public embarrassment, I guess, stopped me from sharing it on YouTube. The original plan was to film it and, you know, and stream it live on YouTube. And the parents, the owners, were okay with it. But I even used them as an excuse. And it was true. I was kind of afraid of what, you know, the internet trolls might say, like, you know, I didn't want them to get bashed, the owners, for having a dog like that, when actually it shows how big of a heart they have, how caring they are, you know, and to give this dog a chance at a happy life, because nobody would have. She would have been put down by now if it was anyone else. Maybe, I mean, you know, maybe there are some other people that would have worked with her and given her a chance like they are, but not a lot. There really aren't a lot of people, in my opinion, in my experience, that would have given this dog as much as they've given her, you know, to try to give her somewhat of a good life. And I did it once, though. I was able to get her groomed. She almost ripped my finger off. Oh, my goodness. And I used welding gloves so that she could bite and it wouldn't hurt too much. Because at first, I was just letting her bite me. Because I have to. Because, and this is just my opinion, but in my experience, the only way I can convince a dog like that, that I'm not going to hurt her, that there's nothing to be afraid of, is by letting her bite me and attack me and showing her that I'm not going to react negatively and I'm not going to hurt her back and this is not going to be a fight. The only way I can convince her that she can trust me is by crossing that bridge, letting her bite me. And trust me, I don't like to get bit. You know, nobody likes to get bit. It's scary. But it's unfortunately a bridge that I have to cross. I don't like crossing it, but once we cross that bridge, then we see improvements in her behavior and she's a little more willing to cooperate and trust me a little more because I did not react negatively and I allowed her to express herself and I allowed her to protect herself because she, you know, feels the need to protect herself, you know? She feels like I'm gonna hurt her. But then by not reacting and getting the groom done, and I got her all shaved down, I scissored around her feet, I scissored around her face, even in between her eyes where all the matting was. It was dangerous. It was very dangerous, but I got it done. And she was not harmed. She was not injured. My hands were swollen because of all the bites and the puncture wounds on all my fingers. So my hands suffered a little bit, but it healed up quickly. It was fine. But because I have that victory under my belt, this time I don't feel so anxious. I don't feel so fearful or worried. You know, I know what to expect now, and it's not going to be fun or easy. I know it's going to be difficult, and I know she's going to bite me. There's no getting around that. Bite, and she's going to bite hard. I've already experienced it, but I do know now that I can get it done because I've got it done once, you know. And what I did was last time in July when I was there, the next day I stopped by their house again before I drove back to Atlanta, and I spent some time with them. And I was able to walk by her without her growling at me, and that was a huge improvement, you know, because every time I would get near her, she would just growl viciously and show her teeth, and you know. But the next day, because of the groom experience that we had, and I didn't try to touch her, because whenever I would kind of get close and I tried to pet her or anything, she would show her teeth and growl. But she would allow me to be near her, and I was able to walk by her without her, you know, growling at me. So it was, you know, I did see some improvements, you know, and it gives me some hope that this time it might be a little easier. And hopefully it'll continue to get easier and easier each time I go and groom her for them. And for me, doing things like this, using the skills and talents that I have, you know, the experience that I have working with difficult, aggressive dogs and giving them a haircut safely, being able to offer a real solution to somebody's real problem, because they were telling me that this really would give them a lot of, it was a real big source of anxiety. It would keep the owner, the mother, it would keep her up at night. She would lose sleep worrying about her dog and what she's going to do about the groom. because it's a Shih Tzu. They have long hair and it gets matted and tangled up, and you know, she doesn't really like for them to brush and, you know, groom her, and so she bites her owners as well, because she was traumatized. Who knows what happened in her life that caused her to just, something in her brain just snapped, and now she just, that's just the way she is. But they're willing to work around her, and they're saying that she has these really sweet moments, you know, where she is affectionate, and you can tell that she wants to be loved, and she's really bonded with the daddy, you know, the dad, the male owner. She's really bonded with him, and she trusts him, and she doesn't bite him as hard. Like when he was helping me hold her for the groom, it was funny because it was almost like she knew which fingers were mine, which fingers were his. Because even though it looks like she is just in a frenzy, in a frantic, just, you know, crazed attack mode, and you would think that she wouldn't really be able to differentiate whose fingers belongs to whose, and she would just bite, you know, without really differentiating, you know, just bite mercilessly, right? But no, whenever she would bite her owner's hands, she wouldn't really puncture his fingers, and she wouldn't clamp down. It was like she was holding back, like she knew, even in that crazed, frantic state where she's whipping and, you know, just attacking. But for some reason, when she knew it was my fingers, and somehow she knew, maybe our fingers taste different, maybe, you know, and maybe his fingers are a little harder, a little, you know, thicker than mine, who knows. But yeah, she's like, she knew that it was my fingers, and she would just go at it, just try to rip it off my rip it out of my hand, you know. But yeah, just, it was interesting. So it lets me know that she doesn't really want to hurt the person that she trusts and that she loves and she wants love from, and she is capable of giving and receiving love. So even though she does act psychotic, I do know that there is a chance that I could gain her trust and her respect, and maybe that would help, you know, allow me to groom her more and more easily, more and more safely each time I go and do this. And just to see the relief on her parents, on the owner's faces, and how happy they were that she is now comfortable and clean, and she's no longer matted. You know, we removed all of that matted coat, and she's unharmed, and she was happy after she was done. To see the relief on their faces, it really did make me feel like, wow, you know, I did something meaningful. The work that I did, it means a lot to them. You know, it touched their hearts, and it makes me feel like an artist. It makes me feel like the work that I do is art, because Seth Godin has some criteria. You know, what he defines what he believes what makes art art, and he's saying art is the only living beings on earth that are capable of making art are human beings. It's human work that only humans can do, because he's saying that it has to have an element of risk. This might not work out. You know, people might not like what I do, you know? And we don't hold back. We put everything we have into it. We put our whole heart into our work, knowing that it might not work out, knowing that there is that element of risk that people might reject our work, you know, or it might not work out, you know? I might possibly injure the dog or get injured myself, and I, you know, might not be able to complete the groom safely. So there is that element of risk. And then he's saying it has to be generous in nature. And I believe, you know, I believe that it is, because I'm doing it wholly because I want to help. I want to offer a solution for these people. You know, and I believe that I'm uniquely qualified to do so. And it has to change the heart of the receiver. And it did. You know, it touched the heart of the receiver of my gift, of my art. You know, the work that I did really touched their hearts. And it made a positive impact on their lives. You know, not just the dog that I groomed, but their owners as well. So this is what makes me feel like my life is worth living. Even though last night I got no sleep because I was suffering from anxiety and sadness, missing my daughters, feeling like the situation with them is pretty hopeless. You know, I can't change the way they feel about me. I don't want to force them to love me. You know, I don't want to manipulate or control them. They're allowed to feel how they feel. And my older daughter's disappointment in me, and maybe even her need to feel like she has to punish me. You know, she's allowed to feel that way. You know, and I just want to be respectful of how they're feeling and just be patient with them. Just be patient and understanding and practice unconditional love. The definition of unconditional love means there are no conditions, right? She doesn't have to do anything to earn my love. She doesn't have to return my love and affection. I just offer it because I love her. Just because. But last night, the heavy feeling in my chest felt so heavy and tight. Like at some points, like I couldn't breathe. My heart felt like it was pounding to the point like my body was reverberating. You know, like I could feel my body rocking and shaking to my heartbeat. And I kept trying to breathe. I stretched. You know, I went to the restroom. And I just kept trying to, you know, think differently and tell myself everything's okay. It's all right. You know, yes, my daughters don't want, you know, to be with me, and they don't want to communicate with me. I've lost the relationship that was so dear to me. And really, my sense of self-worth came from feeling like I was a good daddy and having them in my life and loving them and seeing them smile and laugh, playing with them. This is really where a lot of my happiness, the source of my happiness and sense of value as a human being came from. And now that it's been ripped out of my life and my heart is just broken and I feel like it's just shattered into a million pieces. It's really difficult, you know, but I keep telling myself it's okay. The situation is what it is, and maybe I need this. Maybe this is exactly what I need to find myself and find a way to love and accept myself and heal these wounds. For this, you know, the old wounds that came from childhood, you know, and, you know, just be able to be self-reliant, not rely on anyone or anything for my sense of self-worth. You know, to be able to love and accept myself for who I am with all my flaws. Understanding that maybe I'm not such a great guy, you know, and that's okay. Being okay with not being okay, you know. But yeah, I didn't get any sleep last night, and when I woke up this morning, I had these huge bags under my eyes. I felt so tired. But knowing that my clients were counting on me, and knowing that I'm about to do something that's meaningful, that's that work that only I can do in the way that I do it, you know, because the way I groom is very unique to me. It's my style. And they love it. You know, my clients this morning, I mean, they love it. It almost feels like we're friends at this point, you know. And I opened up to them, told them some of the things that I'm struggling with in my personal life right now, which I usually try not to do with my clients. You know, I try not to cross that line, but they really do feel like friends, and they just love the way I groom their dog. And knowing that, knowing how much they appreciate it, knowing how valued I am, you know, it motivates me and inspires me. No matter how tired or how sad I'm feeling, it lifts me out of my depression. And I was able to go and, you know, do my very best. There was a moment while I was grooming that dog, because I was telling them, you know, kind of the situation. And there was a moment, just by talking about it, my chest felt tight and heavy, and it felt hard to breathe. And here I am trying to scissor around Bijan head, and the dog's not really, you know, it's not really staying still. You know, he moves around a little bit for his head, you know, when I'm trying to scissor on the top of his head and around his ears, make that nice round-shaped head. And, you know, just for a moment, I was thinking, like, am I about to have, like, a panic attack right here, you know, in their kitchen while they're talking to me and while I'm grooming their dog? But no, I really think the work that I do is saving my life, because I even though I felt that tightness in my chest, that heavy feeling, I was just able to breathe and focus, because I, you know, my mind and my body, it was distracted from that feeling in my chest, you know, and I was able to breathe and just focus on scissoring that round head and scissoring on the, you know, nice and trimming around the feet so it's nice and round, making sure the legs are nice and you know, all the hairs are even, you know, making sure he looks nice and smooth. And by doing that, the feeling literally went away. I was able to breathe it away. So I really think that the work that I do, I feel so grateful and lucky that I found something to do as a way to not only earn an income, but that motivates me and inspires me to get up every day and face another day. No matter how difficult it is and how heavy the burden feels, I can get through one more day, because I know that the work that I do is meaningful to my clients, you know, for the people that I serve. And it's not a lot, it's just a few, you know. The way that I groom, I can't possibly groom more than 2 or 3 dogs in a day. So that means that I groom the same dogs every 4 to 6 weeks, you know, every month and a half. And with the 35, I think maybe 36 now, but 35, 36 clients, I mean, that's all I can really handle. And so, instead of having hundreds of clients where, you know, it's hard to keep up with everyone, because I have just a few, it's easier to develop meaningful relationships and keep track of what's going on in each you know, client's lives, understand what each one, each dog needs, understanding the, you know, getting to know and be familiar with each dog's unique personality, you know, and really feeling like I'm making a difference in their lives. You know, the work that I do is not only meaningful to me, but it's valuable to my clients, and they really care, you know, and they really appreciate my art. And it gives me a reason to live, you know, because these days, oh man, going through this divorce, losing the relationship that I had with my daughters, you know, wishing that I could, because when I ask her, why do you hate me so much? Why are you so angry with me? She really can't give me an answer. And maybe, you know, her young brain, you know, she's only 11. My younger daughter's 8. And, you know, I just have to give it time. I just have to give it time and be understanding and patient with them. But, you know, just the feeling that I'm missing their childhood, missing out. But it's okay. It's all right. And I realize that, you know, why do I believe that I should be exempt from the difficulties of life? You know, do I feel like I'm somebody special? That I'm some sort of, you know, special person that, you know, should get a pass on life and everything should just be fun and easy? You know, I should just be able to enjoy, you know, life and not have to suffer through, you know, painful situations and events. Everyone else does, right? We all have gone through some really tough, difficult times and continue to do so. Someone listening to this right now might be going through something that's just devastated their whole world, you know, just threw their whole world upside down. And maybe their heart just feels smashed into 1,000 pieces like mine. You know, I ask myself, do I feel like I should be exempt from this? Do I feel like I should get a pass, that I'm someone special? No. In fact, I should rejoice and feel grateful that I get to share in these difficult emotions, and I get to feel it, and I get to go through it. Because now I feel more empathy towards others who are suffering as well. I'm more compassionate. I'm less judgmental. I realize now how self-righteous I was. I thought I was better than other people, and I thought that I was just an exemplary husband and father, and, you know, like, I was just better than most fathers, and I was more involved in my daughter's lives, and I would never go through divorce. You know, my daughters would never, you know, hate me or have any negative feelings towards me. I thought that I was better than that. I was very self-righteous. And I'm almost grateful that life has handed me this difficult lesson, that I'm no better than anyone else, and that I'm not immune to the difficulties of life. And I needed to go through this because I need to change, and I need to work on myself. You know, not be so impulsive, not be so quick to judge, not be so, you know, quick to lose my temper. You know, be patient and understanding and accepting of others. Because I understand now how important it is for me to be patient with myself, to be able to forgive myself and accept myself. You know, by being able, because if I don't forgive myself and accept myself, if I'm not kind to myself, then the self-loathing, the overwhelming feeling of despair, it is painful, and it feels so hard and heavy in my chest, and my stomach hurts, you know, and it's like physically, it's a real physical reaction, and my body starts trembling and shaking, and I feel weak, you know. And it's like, sometimes the pain feels unbearable, you know. And I never thought I would be someone who would call the suicide hotline, but I did a few weeks ago. I had to, because the thought wouldn't go away, and the pain felt unbearable. And I remember when I used to see those posts on Facebook where people would, you know, share the suicide hotline and, you know, suicide awareness, mental awareness, you know, those kind of posts. I would think to myself, yeah, that's good. That's nice for them, you know, for those people. You know, I hope it helps them. Because I just thought I was above it. I thought I would never, I almost saw it as a weakness. You know, I would never have the weakness of character to ever seriously contemplate suicide again, you know, because I did once when I was younger because of a back injury, and I had two herniated discs. I still do, but I don't feel the pain anymore. It's interesting. But two herniated discs that were ruptured to the right side, and it was my lower disc, L4, L5, L5, S1. And I had MRIs done, and, you know, we were going to, you know, look into getting surgery to do a spinal fusion. It was serious. It was bad. And the pain was constant and just inescapable. And it was just always there, just excruciating. And that was the first time I actually tried to, you know, kill myself. But then, you know, of course, when my daughters, when I got married, I started feeling better about myself, because I'm a good husband, I have a wife now, you know, somebody accepts me, somebody sees value in me, you know. And then my daughters, you know, like getting the love and affection from them, and just, oh my God, just holding them when they're babies. You know, I just thought, you know, that I would never consider suicide. But again, you know, life dropped me to my knees, and it humbled me, because now I realize, yeah, man, I'm no better than anyone else. And instead of judging or pointing the finger or getting frustrated with people, you know, it's causing me to take a step back and look at myself, you know, and realize that everyone has their issues, everyone has, you know, their own history. And if I knew their story, and if I walked in their shoes, I would be more understanding about the way they're behaving, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's, life's a trip. And I'm pulling up to the house now, so I'm gonna let my dogs out, get my bags all packed up, and start my trip down to Orlando, Florida. And maybe I'll record again while I'm driving down there, because 7 hours is, you know, it's quite a long time to be in the car driving. And it might be even longer than that, you know, with pit stops. So I might record another episode while I'm driving down there. If anyone has been listening to this up until this point, I really appreciate your time. I hope that, you know, some of the things that I'm going through and the lessons that I've extracted from my own difficult experiences, I hope it helps. I hope it, you know, is of some value to you in your life. Thank you so much for your time. I honor the light in you that is also in me. Namaste.